You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
When they're throwing out their children's rejected food scraps, some parents find it hard to resist sneaking a bite or two, although they may not admit where that food has been. And Dan Pashman of WNYC's Sporkful podcast says that's okay. In fact, he discussed which of his children's leftovers are acceptable to eat with Hillary Frank during A Parent's Guide to Eating Over the Sink, a recent episode of her podcast, The Longest Shortest Time. Hillary and Dan continued their conversation about how their eating habits have changed since they became parents on yesterday's episode of Sporkful, and they will be co-hosting a Google Plus Hangout about kids and eating today at 3 p.m. And I'm very pleased to welcome them both to our show. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
We also invite our listeners to join in the conversation by sharing their food-related parenting stories and questions with us. The number is 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Hillary, didn't you start doing your podcast when your daughter Sasha was almost a year old?
That's right.
How old is she now?
She is 4 and a half.
How have your eating habits changed over the past 3 years, or have they?
Yeah, I mean, they've totally changed. I used to be a person who sat at a table and ate. And
whoa,
now
fancy.
Very rarely am doing that. I mean, sometimes I try to, but often I am eating over the sink. Sometimes I'm eating in the pantry. Sometimes I'm sneaking her snacks while I'm in the pantry, just because that's the only sweet thing around.
Well, children's food has changed over the years, so at least you don't have to eat Pablum anymore.
That's right.
But are you eating different foods, most of the kid foods?
You know, I mean, no. I try to have her eat my kind of food. But because I keep things like animal crackers around and American cheese and stuff like that, I do find myself eating it a lot.
Do you ever try to eat the foods that are available in pouches?
I have not tried to eat that stuff, no.
Dan, don't you have young kids as well?
I do. I have a 3.5-year-old named Becky and a 1-year-old named Emily.
Hillary has called you an expert on eating by trade. Do you see yourself
that
way?
I guess so. I mean, fortunately, I don't think there's a governing body that issues certification of such expertise, so I can claim it without anyone fact-checking me.
What led you to start thinking about eating in relation to parenting?
I mean, I've been doing the Sporkful for a number of years. I love to eat. I think a lot about eating. I have 2 little kids, and I think, you know, you end up consuming all these empty calories because you end up with this plate. They've left the table, and you have this plate of food, of half mushed around, half untouched leftovers, and it's not really enough to wrap it up to save for later. But you feel bad throwing it in the garbage. And you're like, well, if I eat
what,
it.
What, is this waste not want not?
Yeah, I don't like to waste food, right? You know, so, but it's often not the most appetizing. So I've been trying to find ways to make it more delicious.
Does it depend on where that food has landed?
It does. And in our respective podcasts, I've identified the hierarchy of kids' leftover foods, whether it's the cream of the crop is the food that has not been touched. It sat on the plate untouched. And then it works its way down from there to the stuff they touched with their hands and mushed around, the stuff that went into the mouth and fell out, and the stuff that went all the way down to the floor. You know, and different.
What stuck to their faces and their clothing.
That's right. So there's a whole range.
You say that Deepak Chopra once told you to be mindful when you're eating alone. Are you still able to savor every bite when you're trying to take care of the kids?
I try to. I mean, even when if the kids are running around and I'm cleaning up, and if there's a good bite left on their plate and I'm there by the sink, I'm going to try to stop for even just a few seconds and really focus on what I'm eating and enjoy that little bite.
And are you like Hillary? Do you find yourself not being able to sit down to eat a regular meal as often as you would like to?
It is hard. I have some amazing Texas brisket in my house right now that I had shipped from Texas. And last night I was waiting until the kids were in bed so that I could sit down and focus and enjoy. And, of course, the second I tuck into that brisket, the baby monitor starts going. The young one's crying. And I said to my wife, can you just please turn it off for 30 seconds? Let me eat my brisket.
It's hard to drink a glass of wine under those circumstances.
It is.
When did you start feeding your daughter solid foods?
I started trying to feed her, like, baby food, pureed baby food at about 4 months. That's when my My pediatrician actually said, you know, forget like the regular baby food. Just go up and down the baby food aisles, see what they say is stage one, and then make it yourself. Go get like make some applesauce. So I started trying that. She was not interested until she was maybe 10 months old.
Solid food?
She was, you know, she would take it here and there, but she would make like a disgusted face, you know, but mango was the gateway food for her.
Do you think it's because you were making it yourself? Because those commercial foods often have things in them, probably bad things, that the kids like.
I think I tried some of that stuff. I tried the pouches and stuff. She just, like, she wanted her breast milk. You know, mm-hmm. she actually liked the rice cereal, you know, because it had breast milk in it.
So how do you go about introducing new foods to her if she's that picky an eater?
It turns out she is not a picky eater now. I have a couple of things that I've done, probably something that I've discovered as a strategy that didn't start out as a strategy is to be eating stuff myself that I don't offer to her. And then she's like, what is that? And I'm like, it's lettuce. And she's like, I want some lettuce. And then I want some bean sprouts. And she's like stuffing her face with it. And she's like, I like bean sprouts.
And she likes mangoes.
She does like mangoes. She will eat pretty much anything. And I use this technique by a woman, a dietitian named Ellen Satter, who wrote a book called How to Get Your Kids to Eat But Not Too Much. And it's basically you have a job and your kid has a job. Your job is to pick what food you're providing and decide what time it's served. And their job is to decide how much to eat and if they're going to eat at all. And so I'm very neutral about it. I'm like, this is what I'm serving. And she'll sometimes say, I don't want this. And I'll say, okay, you don't have to eat it. You never have to eat anything, but this is what we're eating. And usually she'll clean her plate.
My guests are the hosts of two podcasts, Hillary Frank, hers is Longest Shortest Time, and Dan Pashman, Sporkful. And this afternoon at 3, they will be doing a Google Plus Hangout?
That's right.
Which we have, which people can find out about how to get to by going to our website here at WNYC.org. Some years back, there was a big controversy over a couple of books that suggested that you sneak good foods into the kinds of foods that kids will eat. You trick them into eating good stuff. Where do both of you stand on that?
I mean, I think that if your kid literally won't eat anything and you're just desperate to get some nutrients in them, it's not the worst thing. But I think first thing I would say, and look, neither Hillary nor I are pediatric dietitians. We're not experts on this beyond our own.
But you're going to have a pediatric dietitian on your
as part of the Google
today.
Plus Hangout. Yeah. That's right. I think in general, people probably overrate the degree to which parents can influence a young child's behavior. Look what Hillary was just saying. Her daughter didn't eat solids until she was 10 months old. Now she's a great eater. My kids, the pediatrician told us 4 months, by 3.5 months they were on solids because they just wanted it so much. And they're also great eaters. And so they were very different at a young age and they ended up the same. And there are, I'm sure, plenty of sets of siblings raised by the same two parents who eat very differently and the parents did the same thing.
Have you been following the story of the school lunches and how so much of the healthy foods are being rejected by kids and are going into composts?
I hadn't followed that story in particular, but I guess it's not surprising. I mean, how many kids, when given the choice between pizza and candy bars versus a pile of lettuce, you know, that's a tough bet. Maybe they could try the thing they did at the Google offices where they put all the candy in jars that you can't see through. And they put the healthy snacks in clear jars, and they saw that healthy snack eating skyrocketed after that.
On Hillary's podcast, you mentioned that your children have started eating lox with or without a bagel and cream cheese.
Straight lox. My daughter, Becky, cannot get enough.
You think it's the salt?
I think she does like salty foods. But she also, now she's eating salmon sashimi, just plain. Nothing. She's like a little dip in the soy sauce. But, you know, if I have a trick that's worked for me, it's that with both my kids, when they were in that age of 6 months to a year, before they really tend to turn super picky and they just want whatever you have, I would feed my kids anything off my plate to get them to try new things.
Well, lox is rather expensive.
It is.
I'd rather talk my kid into something a little cheaper.
Well, and it's especially upsetting, Leonard. You can identify with this, perhaps. When my daughter gets her plate of lox, she eats it all up. Then I make the mistake of afterwards sitting down with my bagel and lox when I just told her there's no more. And she's like, what's that, Daddy? And I'm like, no.
Hillary, does Sasha help you cook?
She does. And along the lines of the lox, we'll get like those little packets of smoked salmon from the grocery store. And I'll make just a big pot of sushi rice. And she loves assembling and sprinkling and stuff. So I'll just like dump a bunch of it in, mix it up with some edamame, and then and chop up a bunch of vegetables and rip up the smoked salmon. And then she goes around and she sprinkles. And then she decides who gets how much of what. And I think it makes her want to eat it, too.
Does everybody in the family eat the same dish?
We do.
That can be a problem, Dan, when you have a couple of kids who have different tastes.
Yeah, fortunately, my kids, we don't often give them different options. We do often sort of have the kids' food and the grown-ups' food, but not always. I try to feed them the stuff that we're eating as well.
You mentioned that you eat the scraps off of the kids' plates. You also enjoy some foods because your children have altered them. What's the graham cracker experiment?
I'm glad you asked, Leonard. Well, as I discussed with Hillary when we did our shows together, Hillary and I draw the line at different places in terms of how far down that hierarchy we're willing to go and still eat the food. I think that certain foods that have been in my one-year-old's mouth are actually improved by the experience. Enter graham crackers, which I find by themselves to often be dry and brittle. Certainly not as good as a graham cracker crust, which has the flavor of graham cracker, but it's more moist. So, Leonard, I would love for you, because Hillary and I have an ongoing debate, I would love if you would perhaps lend some of your expertise. I brought some graham crackers here. And what I'm going to do...
Have these crackers been in your children's mouths?
They have not.
We're doing a simulation.
I'm going to simulate. Right. No children's saliva will be harmed in the making of this graham cracker.
That's a relief.
And I'm going to warn you, it is gross.
Hey, don't bias the judges, Hillary. Don't bias the judge. So first, Leonard, what I'll ask you to do is I'm going to break this graham cracker in half. Mm. I'll ask you to take a bite of plain graham cracker.
Okay.
Good, right? By itself?
It's okay, yeah. I mean, it tastes like a graham cracker.
A little dry, perhaps?
Yeah.
A little brittle?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be nice if it was just like a little bit softer and moister?
Well, we dip a lot of things, but people dip things into their coffee, don't they?
That's a great point, Leonard. I couldn't agree more.
But you don't dip things into your child's mouth.
Now he's trying the graham cracker that I've moistened.
I have to admit, Dan, you're right.
Are you kidding me? I was so sure you were going to side with me.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Sorry. It adds another dimension to the taste.
Seriously.
On top of it all.
Actually, so on our Google Hangout, our dietitian says she has a scientific reason for why people like you guys like things like this.
And what is that?
Testosterone? We're going to find out. I haven't heard it yet.
We're going to be taking some calls and also comments from listeners who've been writing to us. Our phone number is 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. We're going to take a little break first, and then we'll be back with more. My guests are Hillary Frank, whose podcast is Longest Shortest Time, and Don Pashman, whose podcast is it Sporkful with Don Pashman?
The Sporkful, yeah.
The Sporkful.
With Dan Pashman, yeah.
And they will be doing a Google Plus Hangout today at 3 p.m., on kids and eating, and we'll talk more about that as well after we take this little break. We're talking about kids eating with two podcasters, Dan Pashman of The Sporkful and Hillary Frank of Longest Shortest Time, and we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692, or you can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And let's take this call from Ephraim, hi, or Ephraim. Hi, Ephraim.
Hi, how are you?
We are well. I'm not speaking for my guests, actually. They may not be all
I'm
that
great
well.
After my triumph in the graham cracker competition.
And I am bummed.
I would like to share my very fortunate experience with my children and grandchildren. First of all, when my kids were very small, I discovered the ultimate tool. And when I say that I have never had any problems with my children, nobody would believe me, but I haven't. And the answer is the magics. I would advise every parent before they have the newborn, go to the courses and learn how to do magic. Children love more than any sweets, anything, any gifts, any toys. They love magic.
So what are you doing? Are you making the food disappear, or you're pulling carrots from out behind their ears?
No, you just pick up any small rock and make it disappear in front of their eyes, and they love it. People wouldn't believe me before they see children do anything.
Okay.
When my children misbehaved, I said, well, you may miss your magic before you go to bed. And that's it.
Okay. Well, so Ephraim says you have to entertain the kids to get them to eat.
That sounds exhausting to me. That's so great. You don't want to learn magic tricks? No.
Well, you could probably use them with friends as well at parties. No?
I would love to know magic, but that sounds like something I don't have time to invest in learning magic right now.
I know a couple of half-decent magic tricks. I've never tried them to get my kids to eat, but it's one of those things that, like, I feel like it probably depends also a bit on the kid.
Now, you might like what Matt has said on Twitter. He says, for me, the bottom of all is the food my son takes out of his mouth and shoves into mine.
Ooh, that's aggressive.
Well, but
it's a magic trick.
Isn't pre-mastication de rigueur, Leonard? I mean,
I'm not sure the FCC allows us to use that word.
This is post-mastication.
I'll chew on it.
Right. I was actually persuading my one-year-old to try to eat recently by taking, you know, the classic trick. I'm eating some of your food, so then she eats it. Then she started wanting to feed me the food that had come out of her mouth. And that even kind of crossed the line for me. But, you know, if it gets your kids to eat, I'm not going to judge.
Have you ever eaten anything that your kid put in your mouth?
She doesn't put stuff in my mouth. She likes her food. She wants her food.
Frank on Twitter asks, under two, eat anything. Over two, not so much. Hillary, do many parents you speak with have similar experiences?
The under two is eating, and over two is not
under
eating.
Anything over two, not so much.
I mean, I hear about so many people saying they have picky eaters. We took questions for this Google Hangout, and so many people were just saying, my kid will not eat vegetables, will not eat anything with fiber in it. That's one of the questions we're going to ask the dietitian to answer. But I think, you know, there probably are some techniques, and we're gonna hear about them.
What happens when the parents have very specific dietary ideas? Should children be put on vegetarian or vegan diets from the start? A vegan diet doesn't allow using any cow's milk. On the other hand, a caller, let me complicate this even more, a caller called in and then gave the question to one of my producers. He says his 6-year-old niece won't eat meat because she says it's mean to animals. What should he do?
I think that if your child has a thoughtful reason for wanting to not eat a certain food, it's not just, no, I don't want to eat it, like, and they put thought into it, I think that you should try your best to let your kids make those decisions for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know, like, all of the science behind what they need to have at a certain age, it's always hard to know where the line is between, protest and a power struggle versus like a real reason. Like, does a kid have a real sensory issue or something else going on where that's why they can't eat it? And we all have foods we don't like, right? We all do. But I think, like, it's hard when a kid outright, like, refuses to eat everything.
When I was a kid, I was confused by the old story that kids hate spinach. I loved spinach.
Me too.
But then again, I didn't like other things that other people liked.
I still don't like peas.
You don't like what?
Peas.
I love peas.
I don't like lima beans. So what does that mean?
Right. I mean,
But I do eat lima beans because sometimes I have no choice in the matter.
Still to this day,
well,
Leonard?
As an adult, you, if you're a guest at someone's home and lima beans are served, or you're at a good restaurant and lima beans, yeah, I'm not going to leave them for Danielle Ballou to say, why didn't Leonard eat his lima beans?
You're not going to put up a power struggle.
Right. No.
Let's take another call. Michelle from Long Island, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
Well, I'm responding really to Dan's comment earlier about trying to grab a few moments to enjoy his brisket dinner after the kids go to sleep. And I would urge Dan and all other parents to participate in family meals to eat together. I think the strongest message that I like to send out to my clientele is to cook food for your children and to eat those meals with your children. There's a lot of data to support the power of family meals in terms of role modeling and how it helps children develop.
When you say your clients, you're a pediatric and adolescent nutritionist?
Yes, I am. I have been for over 30 years.
So what do you say about parents who have, I brought that up earlier, who have their own dietary concerns? Should they break their rules for their children?
Well, I think I can work with those families to help them, but I think they need to understand very well the nutritional needs of their children and make sure that they're getting an adequate diet in terms of protein and calories and micronutrients. I think it's doable. I think if there's any issues in terms of growth and development of the child, then I would sit down with those parents and try to see if there's some compromises and some changes that they can make to address the nutritional well-being of their child.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point, and I should add, we definitely have family meals in my house plenty of nights, and I agree that I think it's a useful and important thing. But once in a while, I mean, look, let's face it, a meal with a one-year-old and a three-and-a-half-year-old is not relaxing. And if you have a special treat food that you really want to focus on and savor, I don't think it makes you a bad parent to once in a while just say, you know what, I'm going to wait till the kids go to bed to eat this brisket.
I'm talking with podcasters Dan Pashman and Hillary Frank about kids and eating. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Our number here is 212-433-9692. A lot of people have left messages. A caller says, one person wants to know what you moisten the graham cracker with.
Filtered water from right here at the WNYC headquarters.
Not actual baby saliva?
No.
And here it is sitting here in this puddle of water and getting grosser and grosser by the minute.
Well, it's past its prime.
You just
now,
don't like
clearly.
Soggy graham crackers?
I don't.
It's not soggy. It's just lightly moistened. Do you like graham cracker crust, Hillary?
I do, but I think it's not the same.
What if I soak this cracker in butter?
I don't know. We'll have to try that as the next experiment.
All right, that'll be the sequel.
A caller is wondering whether this is just a first world problem.
Which?
All of these things that we're talking about, that if this radio show were in India or Thailand or in Nigeria, whatever, would we be having this kind of conversation?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I've friends of mine who grew up in other countries are always kind of mystified at these kinds of discussions. When I waited tables a while back, I remember there was a waiter I worked with who was Dominican, and he said, we had just gotten this whole lesson on food allergies and how to deal with food allergies. And he said, in the Dominican Republic, when you're hungry, no one's allergic to food. So I'm not an expert on it, but that's what he, you know, and others have said the same thing.
Let's take a call from Fred from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? Let me just get you off of speaker. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. So basically, I'm wondering, when you have these battles with kids because they won't eat their healthy foods, and I'm wondering how much of that is the result of, you know, we all want our kids to eat healthy, but a lot of times you notice that kids are given things like Ritz crackers, a lot of processed foods, and they're given this stuff since 6 months when they're supposed to be on solid. You know, they're being fed breakfast cereals by a lot of people. And, you know, it's not that I don't give my kids junk food. They get their share. But how surprised should someone be that their child is not going to welcome a plate of broccoli when they've been almost trained to eat the pretty packaged processed foods that they've been given? Do you think that factors into it in any way, shape, or form, or no?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think It's all about what you're offered and what you're offered the most, and not giving in as a parent and being like, oh, well, all you'll eat is like donuts and chocolate milk. Well, that's what you get to have all the time. But I think those things are, like you said, okay in moderation.
Fred, have your eating habits changed since you became a parent?
You're talking to me?
Yes.
Absolutely. I didn't always have the best diet, and it got better when I met my wife. When we had my first child, she's 6 years old now, I got into a real health kick. You know, I want to be the healthy dad. And, you know, I was eating right. I was watching my calories. I was exercising. And it was great. It helped us all maintain a much healthier lifestyle. She saw daddy eating great food, and you know, she ate a lot of good stuff. When kid two came around, I stay home with the kids. So when kid two came around, a lot of that went out the window because they're just, when you have one kid, you can go, honey, I'm going to go running, and that's great. When you have two, it's a little harder, you know. So I got a lot more lax, and there was a bit more junk food, and I will eat things that have been out of my kid's mouth, and I'm surprised that how I wasn't as disgusted about that as I thought I would be, because I tell myself it's my kid.
It is your child, and the saliva has your genes in it.
But how many times does my kid get me sick?
That's true. And when kids start going to school, of course, they're bringing back every illness that every kid in the class has. Marie from South Orange. Hi, you're on the air. Maria.
Hi, Leonard. How is everybody doing today? I just wanted to mention that when my daughter was about maybe 7 years old, she started complaining that, you know, she wouldn't eat meat. She stopped eating meat. And at that point, it wasn't because of, you know, that she thought it was cruel. That happened later, but she just said that it didn't feel right. It would get stuck in her, you know, in her throat, and her stomach would hurt. And we later found out that she had EE, eosinophilic esophagitis. So we found, thankfully, that the culprit was dairy. So she stopped eating dairy. And but then she became a vegetarian because she thought it was cruel, you know, to eat animals. And you know, she's kind of changed our.
So have you all become vegetarians as well?
Not really. We had duck last night, but, you know, we try to eat more, vegan and vegetarian. And of course, you know, we use all organic in the house, but it's, you know, it's, we've eaten healthier since then. But, you know, I was thinking like sometimes children who refuse to eat certain foods may have allergies to them. So even at a young age.
Now, carnivores should eat more vegetables, but the biggest problem, many parents say, is getting their kids to eat vegetables. Why do you think kids don't like vegetables? I mean, other than Maria's kid who likes vegetables and doesn't like meat.
I mean, I know what my pediatrician had told us, and I think this is backed up by the pediatric dietitian that we're going to be speaking with Hillary at the Google Hangout, is the number one thing that determines whether or not your kid will eat vegetables when they get older is whether or not they see their parents eating vegetables when they're young. So it's not quite so important to get them to eat them. It's just to have them around. And I think that is kind of useful. But, you know, my daughter eats some vegetables, the sweeter vegetables, but to me that's better than no vegetables.
Well, don't things change when the kids go to school? I used to be very friendly with a man who owned a Chinese restaurant, and his kids only wanted to eat at McDonald's. And he said, I am providing you with one of the greatest cuisines in the world, and I have a wonderful chef, and yet you want to eat this thing that tastes like a dried-out hockey puck. But it was also because all their friends were eating fast food.
I mean, I think it's also if you don't want that to be the way your family eats, then it's like then that's a special treat that we do sometimes. And I mean, another thing along the lines of the vegetable stuff is that I've never congratulated my daughter for eating a vegetable. Like I try never to say, like she knows that there's certain foods that are special treats and desserts and stuff, but I never say like, oh, I'm so proud of you for eating your broccoli or your carrots. And I think that's part of why she wants them.
I'm going to sneak Laura from New Jersey in, but you have to be very quick, Laura.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I just wanted to say that one of the tricks I used to get my kids to eat vegetables, my son was about 8, my daughter was about 5, I would cut up red, green, and yellow peppers, and I would say, oh, I can tell the difference between these, but most people can't. And they would look at each other and they'd go, oh, I could tell. I could tell. So I'd cut them up in little pieces and I'd blindfold them and I'd say, okay, tell me the order I'm feeding you in. And if they didn't get it right, they would just keep eating the peppers until they got it right. And to this day, they're 20 and 17 and they love peppers.
And can they tell the difference?
Then, you know what? They can. They can, which is very surprising because I can't, but I never told them that.
Laura, thank you so much. Just one more thing. Dan, you have a book coming out in October called Eat More Better, How to Make Every Bite More Delicious. Do you write about children as well in that book?
I do. There's a whole section
wet
called
graham crackers. And
I don't get into the graham crackers, but I talk a lot about, you know, there's a saying that when you're in college, alcohol drinking is liquid courage. But I think that in parenthood, it's liquid patience.
Do you, Hillary, do you take your daughter to restaurants?
I do. Yeah.
And what happens there? Does she eat the same way that she does at home?
Yeah, I mean, she usually orders off the kid menu and is a little more unhealthy. But the thing is that my eating changes is that I actually want to eat off of her plate more. I want her grilled cheese and chocolate milk.
The comfort foods that kids prefer.
Yeah.
Although I thought that was a really great idea about the colored vegetables.
It is. It reminded me that my mom used to trick me into eating by telling me I was eating snack instead of dinner because I didn't want dinner. So she would cut up my chicken and say it's chicken snack.
I guess you have to trick the kids into eating well.
That's right. Well, Hillary turned out okay.
Yeah, you'd turn out okay too, Dan.
Oh, thanks.
Despite eating that disgusting food out of your kid's mouth.
Which you love, apparently. Right.
Thank you both so much for being on our show, and good luck at 3 p.m. with the Google Plus Hangout. What do we call that? It's not a podcast. What is it?
It's a video cast.
Mm. Yeah, it's like a chat. People can come and watch. They can ask questions.
You can ask questions live. Mm-hmm.
And again, you can find that on our show page at WNYC.org. Links to it. Hillary Frank's Longest, Shortest Time podcast. Dan Pashman's The Sporkful podcast. Both available also through WNYC. And I thank you both so much for being on our show again.
Thanks
for having us.